So I'd like to talk about the questions I was given. Thank you very much for the questions. Which one to start? Which one? Okay, maybe just changing the taste. Why did you choose this lifestyle? What brought you in at the beginning? What kept you going? Thank you. Actually, the similar kind of question. I want to take on Buddhism, meaning to be a monk, but I'm battling my thoughts of neglecting my family. What should I follow? I don't want to leave. My mind is forcing me to be here and now. What did you choose this lifestyle? This is one of the questions possibly I received and talk about almost 100 times. But each time I try to find the answer, not to repeat the same thing. Particularly, probably it helps me to relate to myself in a fresh way. So although I've talked about this many, many times, it's still a useful, refreshing question to me. So what did you choose this lifestyle? Now I can say I simply liked it. It's not really the answer you may think, but when I think my life history. I'm a Japanese and I finished medical school and I passed the exam to be a doctor, so qualified. But instead of carrying on to be a doctor, I left the country and I went to India about a year, and then I moved to Thailand, visiting various monasteries and the meditation centers for 1 year. And eventually I came to Ajahn Chah's monastery, Wat Nom Pa Phon, or the its branch, Wat Pa Nana Chat. English translation is International Forest Monastery, where I became ordained as a monk like this, quite some time ago. And so when I was traveling and then looking for the way, but I wasn't sure why. Now I can say eventually, because I liked it, and to this lifestyle. It is true, some people may have similar kind of sort of drive to find the way or meaning of the life, something like this. But it doesn't mean everybody comes to the Buddhist monastery even to become a monk. So in that sense, what is there? Or people think meaning of the life, and then people find the different answers, different direction, different ways. But to me, it wasn't easy. Lots of struggles, I can say this clearly. But also I can say that this is necessary destination, something like this. So to me, in the end, I can say this was a natural place to be. So to be short, I liked it. Maybe if I explain a bit more, since my childhood, I am from quite old part of Japan. You may know the Kyoto. Kyoto is ancient capital of Japan, where literally thousands of Buddhist temples or monasteries, but I am from Nara, even it is an ancient, more ancient capital of Japan. You may say oldest part of Japan, and there are certain well-known Buddhist temples. So I had the, it's not like I went to temple to practice with serious intention or interest, but some kind of association. Just on the way to high school, there was a big, very ancient temple, something like this. So whether this affected me or not, but I can now reflect that I developed natural sense of connection. That's what I say, I liked it. You know, because many friends who went to same school, but nobody else felt the same, I guess. But to me, somehow the form of the temples or the monks, again, it's not in Thailand to see Buddhist monks, it's not necessarily common, but sort of part of the matter of imagination, reading from the literature, but somehow I felt natural connection, inclination to the form of this ordained life. And yet, I said yes, they're looking for the meaning of life. Medical school, finished the medical school. Yeah, to be a doctor. I can say now, it is a very good profession. It can help people, because when I am sick, I really know this is essential, something I need. To myself, or to my family, or to friends, you know, it is a. Now I can say clearly, yes, I have to say, it's not like a. Some profession job is more important, the rest, not like this at all. That's not what I'm saying. To be a monk, I can say very much clearly, any job, anything we do has its own precious value, no doubt about it. It's not about which one is more important, which one is has more value. No, it's not a matter of comparison, but it's a really genuine sense, true sense. Everything we do has its own precious value. I'm very clear about this. But also the like the profession as a doctor, like my friends, many friends, they still work as a doctor, and they can impress me. I have a respect towards them. I have to say, when I was a medical student, my mind wasn't clear like this at all. Rather very critical, cynical, doubting. You can imagine that the mind can think anything. Quite sincere, serious in one way, but in a sense, couldn't believe anything. If I use bit strong word, I couldn't trust anything seriously because it's not very difficult to see everything is very much of relative matter. Nothing is such as we can call absolute. Definitely this is safe. This is most important. I couldn't find anything. I mean, this is, again, now I can say this is what our mind can do. But in my teens to 20s, this thinking was a huge challenge to me, thinking, or I don't know, but just that when I say the meaning of life was something like this. So the heart was very much desperate, very, very desperate, but at the same time, nothing could satisfy me. So it's not, I can say now, it's not safe space, safe place to be. Very energetic, very sincere, even desperate, but not balanced. Very strong sense of urgency, or urgent, but not balanced. But fortunately, I didn't become a terrorist. It's not entirely a joke. No, I don't. But you may know in Japan in the 90s, in Tokyo, in the underground, the toxic chemical gas was exploded and many, many people killed and injured. It's a horrible, horrible thing. It was done by the cult. And those who were involved had a so-called good education. And the people wondered why they had such a good education. Yeah, there are some doctors and scientists, researchers, and every kind of people, but they end up in doing the most horrible things. Why is this? People, which became a big question in society too. I wasn't in Japan then, I was in Thailand. But later I came to know this happened. And yes, of course, this is totally horrible thing. But part of me was also saying, I can understand those young people made a huge mistakes. I don't agree, but once you are so desperate, but there's no balance in the mind, and once the mind hold on to something, ideas or certain teachings, I do not know, but that cult, the leader of the cult, is probably he had his own charisma to attract people. This is something different we can think about. But when I think of those followers, you may say devotees or whatever, state of mind, it's not very foreign to me. In that sense, what I can say, I could understand them. But again, very, very fortunately, this is nothing to do with me. Why? I'm not sure. But just I come back to the original point. To me, when I came to Wat Phanachat in Northeast Thailand, Ajahn Chah's monastery, when I saw, actually, most of the monks there is foreign monks, Western monks, in the rural side of Northeast Thailand. It's nowadays changing, but then it was not very much developed. Very simple life in the countryside. And then the Western monks with big body and wearing a robe and then eating a sticky rice. But when I saw them, actually not only Western monks, but Thai monks as well, when I saw them, what was it? Now I can say I probably simply liked it. This is the one I can relate. And it's not like you can say what this monk's form is. But simply, my heart was saying, yes, this, I can give it a try. I can give a try. What this form represents, I mean, this is another theme. But when I think of meaning of the life, particularly how I felt then was nothing I could trust. Because thinking mind, simple logic of thinking mind is nothing is permanent, everything relative. So how can I trust? How can I give my life to? If you follow this way of thinking, everything becomes so difficult. But when I saw the monk's form, all the monks living in Thai forest, and possibly the way you saw me, or this, I saw the monks in Northeast Thailand, was something I would think of, quite close to how 2,500 years ago, the Buddha and then his disciples or Sangha lived. And since then, same or similar kind of lifestyle and the teaching have been passed on. Again, this is, if you bring the logic here, again, you fail. You can't trust anything. But somehow, different part of heart was functioning. Yes, I can give it a try. It's not like a, yes, that's it, immediate change of everything, not like this. But this form, appearance, or whatever you call it, meant something. And what kept you going? When I read this question, what kept me going? Yeah, there are many struggles, not easy at all. I can talk about many, many things about it. But it's not easy, sure. But what kept me going? First thing I thought was the teachers and also presence of the Sangha. A different way of saying is Kalyanamitta, English translation, beautiful friend or spiritual friend. Because I have to say that, personally, my mind is not necessarily very strong. Now, maybe I have a good intention or aspiration, but often doubt comes, low energy comes, or difficult energy comes. You may say the challenge. And if we can sort out on my own, it's not a challenge. If you read a book, I can see the answer. If I do this, that, I can find a way. It's not a challenge yet. But the challenge means just you don't know where you are, how to go, what works. And what helped me was definitely presence of teachers and guidance, and also the presence of friends who chose to follow the same path. We are encouraging each other. So definitely the support and presence and support from the Kalyanamitta friends. In the end, our work is up to us. Each of us is responsible. But it is true that we are not that strong. The path is not easy. And yet, supporting each other is possible. And I was very fortunate. Well, I am very fortunate that I've been surrounded by wise teachers. Like if I say right now, it's like Rumpo Sumedho, Wajamaro, you know. Very, very important and significant. And also, I just go back to when I was about to have an ordination to become a monk. This is the time when I had to think, do I want to? Is it the right thing? Yes, okay, maybe I like it, but do I really want to commit myself to be a monk? Is it safe? Is it right? Well, naturally, question came. Or more than question, possibly doubt. One thing, as a memory came up, there was a female teacher, female lay teacher, Thai person. I think when I was a lay person traveling in Thailand, visiting from one place, one monastery to another meditation place, and it took 1 year to come to what Pananachata said. But when I was practicing one of the meditation centers, one teacher was lay female teacher, very, very, competent and good teacher. She died not very recently, but 4 or 5 years ago, age around 90. But anyway, and when I was at the Padmapadana chart, I was a novice, and I was wondering, shall I continue to have a full ordination? And so she happened to visit the Padmapadana chart. So I had a chance to have a short chat with her, and I talked about my question. Bit of struggle. And her answer was, well, I was expecting something like, well, maybe you need to think, or you have, you know, what is your intention, or why do you struggle? I don't know. But what she said was, I still remember, contemplate on Four Noble Truths. If you're familiar with the Buddhist teaching, Four Noble Truths is the, you can say the essence of Buddha's teaching or Buddhism teaching. The first teaching the Buddha offered after his realization of the truth, that the theme was Four Noble Truths. Precisely speaking, the suffering, cause of suffering, end of suffering, and the path to lead to the end of suffering. Pariva, dukkha, dukkha samudaya, dukkha nirodho, and then patipata. Sorry, my poor Pali. But so this is very important summary of what all about the Buddhism. Or if you want to make it shorter, suffering and non-suffering. So she just said, contemplate on Four Noble Truths. In answering my question, shall I become a monk? It's a very good answer. I think she was pointing to, although I was having a very significant question, I need to find the answer. I need to have an answer. But instead of thinking this and that, but reminding me the most important faith, why we are here, what is the practice? What is the practice about? Suffering, non-suffering, nothing else, but right there. This is in the middle. Very clear, very good reminder. And now, much later, very different story. I came to know, you know, in a Tibetan tradition, His Holiness Dalai Lama. His word, I never studied or practiced Tibetan Buddhism. But I happened to come just one simple sentence. The his word, His Holiness Dalai Lama said, the purpose of the life is happiness. Very simple. People say, all right, so what? No, this is very simple word, but again, I would see it as a significant essence. More formal way to say Buddha's teaching is Four Noble Truths, or in short, suffering and non-suffering. This is the essence and immediate matter. But in a more daily language, His Holiness word is purpose of your life. You may say many things, but He simply said happiness. So when we practice meditation like this, come to the meditation retreat, or to become ordained, or to have a family, or to work, whatever, wherever, whoever, this one we need to remember. We need to come back, either to say the purpose of life is happiness, or Four Noble Truths, suffering, non-suffering. So when she, this female teacher, just gave me one word, think about or reflect on Four Noble Truths. And it is true, I'm not, what kept me going. Kalyanamitta was important, I said, but also, at the same time, as an internal responsibility, this suffering, non-suffering, is always the essential from the day one to until now. And the other person's question, my thoughts of neglecting my family, this is not uncommon. My case is quite bad because I finished medical school. My parents were expecting me to be a doctor. They were very happy about it. But just when their son was about to become a doctor, he says, I go to India without any conversation, any consultation, any checking in, none of this. But suddenly one day he says, okay, I graduated school and I passed the exam and now I go to India. You know, this is how I was. It's desperate, but not balanced at all, not considered at all. I do not recommend anybody to do this. I'm now in this monastery. I am usually in the position of taking care of the junior member of the community. And I know it is not uncommon to have this challenge. Our parents or family cannot understand us, cannot support us, or even sometimes hate us in this form. My case, my parents were really more than disappointed. They suffered a lot, and I know I was not necessarily very skillful in pursuing my quote-unquote interest. I cannot carry on too long, but I do not regret how I am, totally opposite of it, but how I did in relation to my parents, I'm not necessarily proud of it. But also I have to say, I couldn't probably have done differently, because just then I was so desperate I couldn't think of anything else. So when people come, I'm not here in the monastery, junior member of the community or the someone come to ask to become ordained, I have to ask questions, how are your parents? You know? Because my own painful experiences, and also some of our Sangha members. Yeah, it's not simple at all, because this lifestyle is very extreme. Yes, the parents can have their own wishes, their son to be, their daughters to be this way or other, but this way of life is very extreme, very difficult to understand. It's not usual job or profession. Like nowadays we don't have it, but in the past, when I flew back to UK, the immigration card, there's a section of profession. I have to write a Buddhist monk, but this is not really professional work. So it is not in a context of normal job. In fact, what is the monk is, in my word, totally different from how the rest of the world functions. And this form is actually representing what it is. And then, in that sense, our practice of meditation also pointing out this. I said suffering and non-suffering. But if I extend the same in different way, this becomes a... Okay. This Buddhist monk, in Pali word we say bhikkhu. And the bhikkhu, what does the word bhikkhu mean? Direct meaning is the one who begs. The one who begs. It means we live on alms, or we live on generosity, kindness of people. So, like we chanted Anumodana this morning, because food, particularly every day, but also from the where to live, what to wear, medicine, everything is from people's generosity. It's not like we pay money and we buy. No, we're totally dependent on people's generosity. Very different way to relate to the world. This is because, in fact, our precept. We talked about 8 precepts, but the next one is about giving up the money. Giving up the money. And what is it, giving up the money? Because when we have money, of course, money is very convenient means. Well, we can talk about a lot, and we can talk a lot about money. You know, this is the really main area of struggle, you may say. But it is a convenient means when we want something. If we have money, we can buy. But when we have money, what it means, we can choose. Like if it's a food, I like it. This is healthy. This is organic. Vegetarian, non-vegetarian, or the clothes. Oh, I like this color. This is better. This is not. Nothing wrong about it. But our relation to the world around is something we can choose. But once we become mendicant by taking a 10th precept of giving up money, is now we are in a place of receiving, appreciating, instead of getting, receiving and appreciating. So, in fact, this helps our meditation too. When we meditate, be here and now, and train comes. But, whoa, this train, well, yes, this is the one I'm looking for. Where is peace? Where is nice experience? Where pain? No, thank you. Go away, go away. So, naturally, we want to sort out, we want to fix the trains. But I repeat again, our practice is not about the trains, but to find, to learn, to be in the right place of here and now. If you want to use the word, the simile of train and station, this place, station, instead of trains, when we are in the world, I mean, outside the monastery or not in this form, naturally what we do, what we have to do, is sort out the trains. Better trains, good trains, or no thank you for troublesome trains. Maybe necessary. But if this becomes everything, can we really find the peace? This is a significant question. But also, is this only the way? Now we are learning, although we can have, and we have various kind of mental states, likes and dislikes, good, bad, wonderful, opposite, and so forth. trains. But it is possible to be aware, to be the place of here and now, if you like, the place of station. So, mendicant. What is mendicant? I said, it's not like a place, the way to, I want to have this. How can I make it? What kind of effort I can make it, or get it, or get rid of it? Instead, receiving, appreciating. It's very different relation, and it is possible at the beginning, oh, I don't like it. Where is the one I am so used to? Where is the one I really like, I value? Where is it? And yet, oh, this is only available. But once we become used to the life of mendicant, it is true that anything starts to see pressure, to be seen precious. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying something nice, but it is. It is possible. By letting go of this train is definitely important. That train we have to get rid of. Instead, place of station is possible. This is very, very useful, helpful learning. And from this, because of this, I said, now I can appreciate every job. It's not about which profession, which work is important than other. Not at all. But it's not about comparison or selection, but single job or single moment or single person has its own value. This is what at least I can learn from this place of being aware, or in terms of lifestyle, place of mendicant. But because this lifestyle is very unique, you know, so naturally, like parents can wonder. Eventually, I realized, I understood my parents were not forcing me to be this way or that way, but, well, of course, first, their strong desire, preference is their son to be a doctor. But the bottom line is, being a parent, they wanted me to be happy or leading a safe life. And, monk, you're a beggar. Are you sure? Are you safe? You know, you had education in order to have a safe place in the world, make enough money, find the right livelihood so that you are safe. This was how we brought you up. But instead now, what is this you're doing? Begging? Are you sure? This is almost like a bottom line concern of my parents had. Other monastic, not necessarily the same, but it is very difficult to understand this unusual way of life style. And yet, in an essential sense, what there is totally different from the how the world, rest of the world, would function. Oh yes, I was talking about the bhikkhu. So the meaning is the one who begs. But the second meaning, more essential meaning, is the one who sees the danger in samsara. Samsara is the repetition, traditional translation, interpretation is samsara is a cycle of rebirth, again and again and again. But if you think of past life, this life, future life, can we believe it? Or do you talk about that kind of things, the speculation? Some people do not have any problem to think in this term. Some people have resistance. I'm not encouraging people to have a speculation, anything like this. But what this samsara means, in a more practical sense in our life, something like our habit, or if I use the strong word, addiction. When we come to certain situation, let's say strong feeling arises, I want to do this, I want to have this, like example of alcohol, drugs, or something very desirable, and we won't have it. Once we got it, I won't have it again. Or the other way around, I really don't like this, I hate this person, I have to punish him, or I have to kick him out, I need to do revenge. You know, so this is a, suppose we have a strong drive in our thoughts and feelings. And when we say samsara, repetition again and again, means if we simply knowingly, unknowingly, we follow this drive of this is right, this is wrong, I like this, I don't like this, and just follow. To make it short, it's not easy. But in a worst case, one of the worst cases is the war. It's just if we have a hatred, if we think only the solution is to revenge, to destroy the enemy, this is only the way to feel satisfied. This is the solution. But we know this doesn't become an end. It continues the same story, even if it becomes worse. This is the level of human history, but when we come to each individual being, when we come to each situation, how to relate certain feelings and thought, what to do, whether to follow or to have awareness around it, and is it safe, is it alive or not, makes huge difference. So I'm making quite a shortcut, but when we say, what is the meaning of bhikkhu? You know, the one who sees the danger in samsara, in a practical sense, and the most important sense, this is about awareness. When we come to each situation, what we experience is I'm jumping too far. I try to come back to our theme of meditation practice this time, like a train and station. When we see the trains, this train, I won't have it, I should have it. This train, I don't want, I have to get rid of it. If we just follow this, in the end, we have a battle with the trains, and we never become peaceful. Sorry, I'm just jumping to the conclusion. I'm not really explaining fully. But when we say the seeing the danger in samsara is, in another word, just believing a train, and we do not have any perspective, but just what we can do is always the only to fix the train or manipulate the train. But essential question is it really safe? And is this only the way? But now, by practicing meditation, possibly difficult thoughts, very inviting ideas, strong feelings, and so forth, trains. But also we are learning the place of here and now, or the station. I shouldn't say too much, but once you become used to this place of mindfulness or awareness, here and now, or the station, we know it is safe. Although, even if we have to have certain strong feelings, difficult ideas, challenging situations, but we know also this is not everything, but we have a perspective, and there's a sense of at ease. So I can say if I'm not afraid of being misunderstood, I can say this is a place safe to have experience anger, desire, challenging thought, difficult emotions. You know, these thought emotions can be very difficult, but as soon as I know there's a safe place in the middle, place of awareness, we also know, yes, it is safe to have these emotions, thought. It's not, practicing meditation doesn't mean not have any difficult thought, unskillful thoughts such as anger, jealousy, desire, and so forth. It's not like for us to become a saint or having only beautiful thoughts or no thoughts. Not like this. But we are human beings. We experience various feelings and thoughts. But by recognizing the place of here and now, we also know it is okay, safe to be human, safe to have feelings and thoughts. So when I say the bhikkhu, the one who sees the danger of the samsara, it doesn't mean denial of the world or running away from the world. Well, our lifestyle, it may appear as the running away from the world. Maybe our parents may interpret in that way. But in fact, at least in my understanding, as we practice, our relation to the world becomes safer and clearer. Just like example, in the past, I couldn't say that, for instance, the profession of the doctor is good. My mind couldn't agree. But now I say without any hesitation, every work, every profession, so precious. You know, it's not like a denial of the world, actually opposite. Appreciation, natural appreciation of the world, natural appreciation of the human beings, natural appreciation of oneself becomes available. So this is really blessing of this practice. Either, you know, it requires quite amount of patience because sitting like is a painful, unusual posture, but we are learning where the safe place here and now. And at times, train comes and goes, tempted. We want to go there, we want to fix, we want to get on, we want to run away. But with the virtue of patience, too, gently, we come back to this, recognize the same place and come back to the place in the middle, place of at ease, place of allowing, resting, or if you like, a holiday of the heart. Sorry, I only talked about the two questions. Okay. Thank you.